Hey there, and welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Thanks so much for tuning in. Glad to have you along with me. Today is Wednesday. It's April the 21st. We're going to talk about finding the joy of Jesus in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your problems, in the midst of what can be a very challenging set of circumstances in your life. And let's face it, everybody has got something going on. How is it that we are able to find joy? I really believe that it's possible. I really believe also, and I think I've talked about it with you before, I believe that we underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I believe that Jesus isn't as real as he should be to us. And I struggle with this too. So I'm going to share some thoughts with you about that. I'm going to tell you some things that happened to me last night, some things that I was thinking about, where I began to fall victim to this, where I began to forget just how real Jesus is, where I began to push too much, where I began to lose the peace and the joy that the Lord wants to give me, two of the fruits of his Holy Spirit. And I began to lose these things. So I hope you'll be able to stick around for the entire show, pull up a chair, make yourself comfortable, whatever you want to do, bring your snack, your beverage, and let's hang out for the next 30-some minutes and talk about finding joy in Jesus. And if you would, let's pray now, and I'd invite you to pray with me. I'm going to lead and just ask you to follow. We're going to talk to our Father in heaven today. And before we begin, I just want you to pause briefly and recognize that you do have a Father who is with you right where you are. Wherever you are, your Heavenly Father can see you. He can hear you. He loves you. He is completely in control of your life. And I think it's important for us to recognize that sometimes when we pray, because if we don't, even though we don't intend to do this, what can sometimes happen is that our prayers become empty words. You know, we're just so used to saying words that we don't really mean them. This requires a little work on our part because we can't see our Father in heaven, which, as I've told you before, makes sense because he's invisible. He's pure spirit. So it makes sense that we can't see him. But the struggle for us is that we are not used to having a relationship with someone who we can't see. It's completely different. It's almost bizarre in a way, but it is something that once you get it down, once you're comfortable with, it's going to change your life for the better in so many ways. So let's remember that our Father is with us and he hears us and that he is willing to help us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, you know what? It is very hard to remember that you are with us. It's very hard to remember that you're bigger than any problem that we could ever face. It's very hard to appreciate just how much you love us. But Father, we pray for the grace to be able to do that. Through your Holy Spirit, please enable us to really believe that you're with us, that we're all that you're all powerful, and that you love us unconditionally. Please increase our faith so that we believe it more and more. Father, we turn to you knowing that you hear our words, and we offer you praise and thanks for who you are, Almighty God, for the great things that you have done and continue to do, and give you thanks for all that you have done in our lives, how you provided for all of our needs from the time we were first conceived right up until the present. Father, we thank you for never loving us any more or any less. Your love is constant, totally consistent, and there's nothing we can do to change that. We're very grateful for that. That kind of unconditional love is something that we can't find, even among the people who we're closest with in this world. Your unconditional love is special. Father, we lift up our friends, our families. We lift up ourselves. We lift up all of our problems. We give them to you, Father. We pray that you grant us what we need. And we pray, Father, that your will be done in our lives. I ask you to pour out your Spirit upon me so that I can deliver the message that you would like me to deliver today. I pray that you will open all of our minds and hearts to be able to receive and put into practice the message that you have for us. Father, I ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I got a bit of a problem here. I'm Gary Zimek, by the way. Thank you for praying with me. But as I shift gears and back to reality here, I'm looking at my beverage situation, and it's not good. I did not fill up my drinking glass before I started. But I got enough, I think, to get by. So let's just pray that I don't have a coughing fit. Anyway, great to be with you here on this program. Today's Wednesday. It's April the 21st. And I'm excited about this topic today, the joy of Jesus, the joy that comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. I think too many times we underappreciate the value of a relationship with Christ. We also fail to recognize just what he can do, what kind of a change he can make in our lives, and furthermore, that he wants to make that change. I look back over the course of my life, and for years, my relationship with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit was a matter of going to church on Sunday, and that was pretty much it. I'd throw up some prayers, wouldn't really... It's really hard to explain, but I wonder if you can relate. I didn't really expect much of an answer to my prayers, but it sort of made me feel good, a little better, that I was saying some prayers, especially when I was in a bind. I never prayed when things were going good in my life. I would sleepwalk through Mass every Sunday. But there were times when I was really desperate, and I turned to Jesus and asked for help, not fully understanding who he was, what he can do in my life. He was sort of a vague presence. It was part good luck, part just in case, let me say these prayers. You know, that's the way it was. But at some point in time in my life, things changed around dramatically. And I came to know him personally. It wasn't a one-time epiphany moment. I can trace it about three or four points in my life when I said, hey, he's real, or there's the possibility that he might be real. Now, I was so lukewarm that I just lost interest after those moments. But, you know, seeds were planted, and eventually I was able to surrender my life to him. And on January the 6th, 2012, when I got laid off from my day job as a software developer, that's when I made the decision to really get out of the boat and follow Jesus and go into full-time ministry. I'm in my 10th year of doing that now. I've grown closer to Christ along the way. I know I'm going to be working on growing closer to him for the rest of my life. That's a good thing. And that's for all of us. We never want to get to the point where we say, all right, that's it. I don't need to work on my relationship with Christ anymore. We don't want to be at that point. Because then we're missing the point. You know, that's always something we want to work on. So today I want to focus on, this came out of the first reading from today's Mass. And typically on this program, what I do is I pretty much depend on the readings for Mass to give me an idea for this program, but not always. Sometimes I feel the Holy Spirit wants me to go in a different direction. But I didn't expect to get my idea from the first reading. I thought it would be coming from the Gospel today, as it usually comes from the Gospel, at least for the past couple of days. But something hit me in the first reading that I want to share with you, and it has to do with this joy of having a relationship with Christ. And we will talk more about this throughout the... especially throughout the Eastern season. What kind of a difference does the resurrection of Jesus make in your life? You know, you've heard me say that before, and it, it really is worth repeating and worth exploring again and again. When I got out of bed this morning, what difference did the resurrection of Jesus make in my life? Did I even care about it? Or did I care more about other things? You know, because the resurrection does make a huge difference. Obviously, because Jesus rose from the dead, we have eternal life. We have the ability to live forever in heaven when our earthly lives are over. So in other words, death in this life no longer means the end of our life. It's really just the beginning. And the other important thing to remember when it comes to the Lord's resurrection is he was dead. He was done. His body was buried, and he rose from the dead. He is not dead anymore. He is risen. Therefore, we are able to have a relationship with him. You can't have a relationship with a person who is dead and has not in some way been risen from the dead. Right? I mean, if he was really dead, then you're not going to be able to have a relationship with him. But he's not dead. He's alive. And we are very much able to have that relationship with him. And I think the third thing that the resurrection gives us is the reminder that Christ rose from the dead. He's bigger than death. What is more scary, or what has more control over us than death? We can't do anything about preventing our death. When it's our time, we're going to have to die. Yes, you can hasten your death, but I mean, you can't stop it. You're going to die. I'm going to die. If Christ is bigger than that, then anything I face this day, any challenge, any problem, any crisis, any catastrophe, he's bigger than it. And if he's alive and he can walk with me and he can help me, why would I ever be afraid? And that's the point we want to get to. So the resurrection matters. Every morning we wake up, and especially during the Easter season, you want to really remember the power of the resurrection and be thankful to Jesus for what he did. Every morning when you wake up, you want to remember Christ rose from the dead. Therefore, since he's with me, then I don't really have anything to be afraid of today. I can handle whatever life throws at me today, or whatever the Lord allows to happen in my life. So let's keep that resurrection, that celebration of the resurrection going. Let's remember that and know that with Jesus, we have nothing to fear. My name is Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. So great to be with you once again. We come to you 5 days a week, 30 minutes each day on this podcast. Hey, listen, if you know somebody who might benefit from this show, please let them know about it. You can get this show at any of the major podcast distribution services. You can also get my weekly show, The Gary Zimek Show. That's the program. It's very similar in format to this show, except I look at the Mass readings from the Sunday Mass. So you can get that in the same place you got this one. They're totally free of charge. Also, why don't you visit my website, followingthetruth.com, and consider signing up for my free email devotional. It's called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Every day, I share a Bible verse and a reflection designed to give you the hope that Christ wants you to have. That's the reason I do what I do. You could sign up for free by going to followingthetruth.com. It's followingthetruth.com. You can also, while you're there, find out how to get a copy of my new book, which is called Give Up Worry for Good. Give Up Worry for Good. So it's all available at followingthetruth.com. Head on over if you want to find out more. Okay, so this first reading today, it's from the Acts of the Apostles. And one of the great things I find in the Easter season is that as we look at the various readings, we see, especially the first reading. The first reading is a look into the early church. So if you want to see what the early church was all about, the Acts of the Apostles is the place to go. This was shortly after the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus into heaven, when the Holy Spirit descended upon the church on Pentecost Sunday. This is shortly after that time, the early church, the earliest years of the Christian church. And we get a good insight as to what the church was like then And as you'll see today, when we look at the church of today, we see quite a difference. And I think it's striking, but I don't want you to be discouraged, because I think there are some things we can all do to bring about the changes that we would like to see. Let me read this. This is Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. There broke out a severe persecution of the church in Jerusalem, and all were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, shortly after the time of our Lord's death, resurrection, ascension, shortly after the time of Pentecost, there was tremendous persecution of Christians. So it was dangerous to be a Christian. And that makes it all remarkable when we see how the church was flourishing, when we consider that there was a danger for those who chose to follow Christ. Devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lament over him. Now, this was the first Christian martyr, St. Stephen. He was stoned to death for his belief in Jesus. Saul, who went on to be known as Paul, meanwhile was trying to destroy the church, entering house after house and dragging out men and women. He handed them over for imprisonment. It's kind of remarkable that Jesus handpicked this guy, Saul, who was a Pharisee, a notorious persecutor of Christians. He chose him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. He went on to use the name Paul, and Paul would write a great deal of the New Testament, and he was the person chosen by Jesus, this persecutor of Christians. He was chosen to bring the gospel message to the Gentiles. I mean, it's unbelievable that Jesus would choose somebody like Paul. And at this point, when we look at the Acts of the Apostles, he's still out to get Christians. He is trying to stamp out this Christian movement, these followers of Jesus. And as you know, because in this year, the 2021, the church is still flourishing, his work was not successful. And it can't be successful, because Christ founded the church to last until the end of time. So no matter how hard somebody tries, they're not going to be able to get rid of Christianity. Okay. Now, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Thus, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. Healings taking place in the name of Christ. We see a lot of that in the early church. The gospel being proclaimed with great power. You know, not just a wishy-washy proclamation, proclaimed in an atmosphere of persecution, which attracted unbelievers to become Christians. You know, I mean, you think about it for a minute. We have enough of a problem with being lukewarm. And there's no real danger, there's no real physical danger, at least in the U.S., when it comes to being a Christian. And yet people are just still, so many times, apathetic. But in this time, where your life could be in danger for following Christ, people were enthusiastic and wanted to become Christians. You know, so something is missing here. The paralyzed and the crippled, they were cured. See, these great signs are being performed in the name of Jesus. And what happened? There was a great joy in that city. The joy in Samaria came from an encounter with Jesus. So why is it that somebody like me could go for years to Mass every week, receiving Jesus in Holy Communion? That's Him. I mean, nothing's going to change it. That is really Jesus. And I was receiving Him in the Eucharist for years. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. How is it that I could still have been lukewarm? Well, I wasn't pursuing a relationship with Him. And the thing about Jesus is, He'll let us do that. And unfortunately, I go back, and I've talked about this on the show before, I look back to the days when I grew up as a Catholic Christian, and I look at my friends, I look at my relatives, I look at my parents, I look at everybody around me, and with one or two exceptions, and in each of these cases, where I had one or two exceptions, where people witnessed about the power of Christ, that He was real, that following Him and letting the Holy Spirit work in you can make a difference. When those people witnessed to me through their lives, through their words, I was very interested. But for the most part, everybody around me, and it's funny, most of them went to church on Sunday. Everybody was content to go through the motions, to not really turn their lives over to Christ, to not really follow Him, but just to check the box off and go to Sunday Mass. And as a result, I thought that that's all there was. And you know, we can all fall into that comfortable Christianity. Yes, I'm a decent person. I go to church every week. And I sit there and I smile at the priest and at some people, and I'm nice while I'm there, and then I live my life. I mean, that's the way everybody I knew was doing it. And at school, it was the same thing. Yes, we had religion classes because I was in a Catholic school. But I didn't know anybody who really seemed to have a personal relationship with Christ. And I used to play in the music ministry in high school. I did it in my church. But it was sort of like a joke. You know, I'm not sure why I did it. It was not a spiritual thing for me. And I look back now and I think, boy, I really missed the point. I was miserable. I was hopeless. I was discouraged all the time. But I didn't think there was another way to live my life. And now that I've had that encounter with Christ, and have seen firsthand what could come out of accepting Him as my Lord, as my Savior, and turning my life over to Him, I can't believe I settled for the life that I settled for. But one of the reasons I do what I do, and that I've been in full-time ministry for close to 10 years now, is that I want to share Jesus with you and with everybody I can, and to let you know that what happened in the early church, these miracles, they are still possible today. And I'm going to encourage you, if you need a miracle in your life, I can't promise you how God will respond to your request. But I can tell you this, He will respond in the best way possible. And you say, well, that's not fair, Gary, that's a cop-out. It's not, but I can understand why you think it is. Because we're not going to change the facts. If you pray for a miraculous physical healing for you or somebody you love, and more good can come out of that healing not taking place, that physical healing not taking place, than from the healing taking place, then why would God purposely give you an inferior answer to your prayer instead of giving you what's going to help you the most? You know, we can say the miracle, the physical healing is always the best thing in our mind, but it's not. We may not understand why it's not, but it's not always. And that's why sometimes, even though Jesus can heal any condition, Sometimes the physical healing doesn't take place. Does that mean you should not ask for it? No, please. I would say ask for it. I always pray for a complete physical healing for somebody who is sick. But sometimes he says no. Sometimes he can bring more good out of the situation the way it is. Sometimes the ultimate healing is death, and it happens. But you need to expect miracles. You need to believe that miracles can happen. And you need to accept that the Holy Spirit can give you the peace you're looking for, even if you don't get the answer to your prayer that you want. It has happened to me time and time again. And I end up not getting what I asked for, but yet somehow I'm peaceful. That's nothing that I can do. That only comes about through the work of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you and encourage you to give Jesus a chance to work in your life and to understand that he is risen and that he is with you and that he does want to be a part of your life. And I'm going to encourage you to turn to him today. And if you haven't done so yet today, you might have done it in the past, but I'm going to tell you to do it today, to accept him as your Lord and your Savior, to admit that you are in need of a Savior, to admit that you need his help, and then to surrender your life to him. You do that every day, you're going to grow closer to him, and you're going to find that great joy that we read about in the first reading today. Let's continue the dialogue, okay? We'll talk about this again tomorrow. I hope you can join me. And we'll keep going forward with this. We'll talk about the joy of the resurrection throughout the Easter season, but I just want you to have hope. Whatever you're struggling with today, there is hope. Don't ever lose hope. Don't ever become discouraged, because Jesus can do all things. And he loves you. All right, if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I'm going to run now. And I hope to be back with you here tomorrow. Talk to you then. God bless.